This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We'll even assist.
Yeah, and also we're not even confirming that we'll be that we'll be satisfied with it when you do. But you know that's the neighborhood's bad. Okay, well you live in the neighborhood too, so yeah. you can maybe
help out a little bit.
Starts with me. Isn't that a campaign? All right, let's take a break. Tim says he's ready to go, so we'll go live to Big Ten Country, also known as Las Vegas. We'll discuss that with Tim next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Tim Murray is, of course, the host of VSiN's college football and college basketball betting podcast, VSiN's betting tailgate show, VSiN Primetime, on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, how is it in Big Ten Country?
Yeah, Big Ten country here mm-hmm. in lovely Las Vegas. It is it's very interesting to see all the trophies and all the coaches here, all the uniforms. I mean, it was Big 12 country just a little while ago.
All right, let's start with the talking points. All right, so this from me following along. You tell me if I'm off base. All right, I wanted to start with Tony Petitti, quote. We want to better connect the regular season and the postseason. We want more conference games to matter in November. So part of, this exploratory process that you and I've been doing, what it feels like now for, as long as I've known you, what is everyone trying to get at? And today was the first day that it clicked with me in that I think what the Big Ten has clearly decided they want is their model is a lot like Major League Baseball's. We're trying to keep as many teams in it and relevant as long as possible. We don't really care who winds up going in the end, but we want to just have as many teams in it as possible down to the end. And it's one of those things where I don't necessarily think it's wrong, but I think when you acknowledge this, like they can't do this move of, we're not devaluing the regular season and going with this because they're even have acknowledged like, hey, if you play these non-conference games and they don't matter, like you'll schedule better ones. Like, okay, so now you're acknowledging like these games don't matter. I think like that's their end goal is that they just want as many teams relevant as possible down at the end. And it actually makes sense because Tony Petitti comes from the world of television and that's what television wants.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's this whole, finally, we're hearing from him, and now it's who's going to dig their heels in deeper and who's going to want what format. And, we talked to Blake, I want to say last Friday, about SEC versus Big Ten and what formats they all want. And, yeah, I do get the feeling, and obviously a team like Ohio State's opened up against Texas. I kind of make them the outlier. But it feels like a lot of the, let's say team four down are kind of getting in this, why are we playing these big non-conference games? Let's just get ourselves to the conference and have an opportunity to see what happens. So, yeah, it does feel like that is the early kind of vibe out here, is that maybe that's the way it ultimately goes. But yeah, it's, you know, there's only a handful of teams here today. I talked to Dylan Raiola for Nebraska.
Was he wearing a Mahomes jersey?
He was not. He was sharp, man. He looked sharp. We're gonna play that interview, I think, back tonight on my show. But he joked. He looked at me. He goes, "Man, you make me look short." I was like, "Yeah, sorry. I do that to a lot. Usually, I just sit at a desk and people don't see how tall I am." But you know, it's kind of interesting when you see, you know, the teams that are kind of moving in and out of you know, media day here today. But yeah, I kind of hope, Jeffrey, that this fight continues and they can't settle on anything. They probably will. But if the outcome is we just get 12 teams staying around, I'm like, cool. I keep fighting and let's keep it that way.
I think there's momentum. I think in the SEC, the question is how much, how seriously do they want to get it done before? My thing is, like, I think if the SEC sees another year and they get four in this year, I think there will be a strong push, because the ACC is already coming out strong today. They also have their media day or whatever kickoff.
Yeah, what did they say today?
The boys have been rallied. The boys are rallying. 12 is better than 16. And by the way, I think you and I might agree. I don't understand that 12, the 12 team format might be better than the 16 team formats.
I really think it is. I don't need more teams. I think 12 is a really good number. I just, when they floated out 12 initially, I'm like, you know what? I think that makes sense. And then I think what messed everything up was Boise State getting the bye. And I think at some point, do we just have a talking to the group of five? And I know you're in G5 country there, and say,
well, we tried not to be.
Yeah, you tried. 200 million, huh? Woo. Did you give any of that money?
I did not kick in a nickel, but I've got a working theory on that one. You ready?
Hit me.
I think Brett Yormark's the one that leaked the story. I think he knows in this era when he's got everybody complaining about money and money and money, he's like, I just went and cut a sweet deal. And you guys didn't even entertain it.
I know we're being diverged here. I don't know how much you opened the show with it.
It was basically the entire thing.
Why would the Big 12 turn that down? If it's true, are we playing under the assumption that what was reported is accurate, that Memphis said, we don't want TV money, we'll give you $200 million, what, in ad revenue?
I think Ross had a copy of the offer.
Okay. Wow. Why did they, I don't see why you would say no to that, unless it doesn't really, are they scared of Memphis?
No. That in the end, like, I guess if you want to look at it as most favorably from their perspective, their view is, why do we have to do this now? Is this offer not going to exist in 6 months?
True.
Does this offer not exist tomorrow? Does this offer not exist?
Once you put it out, but then you keep that quiet, right? You don't put it out there. I think once you put it out there,
that's also why I think Yormark leaked it. I think Yormark. Let me
see.
Even
Yormark's mad.
Yes, because I think in the end, I think he brokered the deal, and I think
he's like, dude, I just brought you all this money.
Correct.
And unlike
everyone else that likes to talk in big inflated numbers, Brett Yormark comes from the world of marketing and television, and he knows what everything's worth. And I think he thinks I cut an unbelievably good deal. I think he thinks I cut a deal that I can't believe they said no to.
So essentially, if I'm doing my math right, roughly, you're looking at around $15 million per school, if it's evenly distributed, roughly, maybe a little bit less.
I think it was fair to say it would have been about $3 million per school per year over 5 years.
I mean, I it doesn't make sense to me. Why would you turn that down when it's, and it's also not like it's a Memphis program that's a, you know, a doormat. Like, you've got a very competitive basketball program with a NBA arena that they play in. You've got a football stadium that, you know, houses a bowl game that Big 12 teams play in. It does. Yeah, that I didn't, I'll be honest, I didn't dive fully into the story, so but when I saw that, I was like, huh?
The simplest answer is they've had, I don't know, in my lifetime, I think this might be the fourth official courting of the Big 12, and it's official. Like, it's just, it's Lucy and Charlie Brown with the football.
Yeah, it's, that one doesn't make sense to me. But yeah, back to our initial point of, you know, 12 greater sign, 16. Yeah, I think it's better for the sport. And then, you know, if you can talk to the G5 and say, hey, you guys can't get a bye, they probably wouldn't be happy about it, but I think ultimately they would acquiesce because they just want access, right?
I was thinking about it in these terms. If we would have had 8 last year, what does that look like? That would have been Georgia. It would have been Oregon, Georgia. 3 would have been Penn State.
Because remember, it all got changed because Arizona State got the
right.
Boise State got the 3,
and then Arizona State got the 4.
Correct, because of Clemson winning the ACC.
Okay, so let me pull it up. Who would have been?
So are we doing auto bids? Are we doing?
All right, here's yeah. It would have, like, this is what I would have had. I would have had the 5 highest ranked champions and then 3 at larges. So you would have had Oregon, Georgia. You would have had Oregon, Georgia, Arizona State, Clemson. And then your at-larges would have been
Penn State, Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and
so
Ohio
I guess
State,
I would,
right?
No, because then Texas is an at-large.
Oh, Texas. So Ohio State would have been bumped out.
Yeah, and so then, yeah.
So the national champion would not have made it if we had an 8-team field with 5 auto bids.
Correct.
Which is pretty wild.
I just, like, I think a lot of it is like, okay, a lot of the hand-wringing is these teams, they shouldn't have been in. It's like, guys, I feel like basically anyone 10 through 18 was probably not going to have a great showing.
But the irony is Ohio State and Notre Dame would not have been in the 4-team playoff, and they ended up playing for the national championship in the 12-team playoff.
So it's also why I am
– The reason why I like 12 so much better than 8 is because if it's 8, we're not going to campuses. And I think this is
well, you can go to campuses, but yes, to your point,
they won't because of the bowl game ties.
Correct.
And the money and all of that.
Correct. But to your point, I think this is another actual argument for 12. It is possible when you have these bloated conferences, if you go just the top 8, you might leave out the national champion. I don't think that you're leaving out the national champion if you go to 16.
No, I don't know. I assuredly you are not.
But I can see an 8 where you are, so I'm fine with 12.
I really like the component of on campus. I know the games weren't ultra competitive, but like we are playing the results as opposed to the buildup. And you and I have talked about the sport and how much it needs the buildup and why the national championship has always been anticlimactic. The build-up to Notre Dame, Indiana was incredible. The game wasn't, but the build-up to it where you had 4 hours of college game day, it was bitterly cold, right? So you had that element there. Like, there was just a lot of beautiful, perfect things.
Some of the best scenes of the year, and none of those games were great, but some of the best scenes of the year were all of those. For, you know, like, yes, to me, Notre Dame, Indiana was a cheat code, though. We were opening the first ever on-campus playoff game at one of the most historic venues that the sport has to offer. Like, the only thing you could do was screw that up, and Notre Dame most certainly did not screw that up. But even, like, Penn State with the early game, like, that was a great environment. Texas Clemson was a great environment. Like,
it would have been better if the NFL didn't, you know, decide to just do NFL things. Like, yeah, we're going to put two games right there, smack dab in the middle.
Yeah.
Two really good games, too.
Yeah.
But that's why I like the 12. And that's why I've always, when the introduction of the 12 came out, I was like, ooh, that's what I like. Now, once again, I agree with you and what you've been discussing, which is, can we figure out a way to not have the national championship so late? I don't know how we do that. I do like the fact that New Year's Day is back and is like the main day for college football, which we had lost during the 14 playoff, because the semifinals always happened. They tried to do the New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, it was to cater
the Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl being a bunch of, you know what,
The Sugar Bowl really flew under the radar of, like, the Sugar Bowl kind of did what the Big Ten used to do with letting the SEC do all the talking. But, like, the Sugar Bowl was not giving up that January 8:30 Eastern time slot just as much as the Rose Bowl wasn't. And that was always the problem. Those two games weren't budging, and so then we had to rotate when the other games were.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, being here, I mean, once again, we only got a couple people today, like, you know, I was talking to Mike Loxley of Maryland. Not sure that's going to necessarily move the needle down in Memphis. But, you know, it's kind of funny, man, just seeing the Ohio State players. They had Jeremiah Smith, Caleb Downs, and Sonny Styles here. Man, those dudes are well put together guys. I mean, those are some big boys.
I mean, realistically –
those are two.
No one will hear his name called later than what, 10th?
Well, I mean, this is no knock on Sonny Styles, who's an awesome talent. Like, those are the two best college football players in the country, I believe. I think Caleb Downs defensively and Jeremiah Smith offensively are the two best, most talented players in college football.
Would the other argument be Williams at Bama?
Ryan Williams, sure. Yeah, Ryan Williams for sure.
I still think, though, if you said gun to my head, if I get to draft one of them, I think I'm drafting Jeremiah. And that's, like, not a slight to Ryan.
No. I mean, I don't think you could go wrong, but if I had to pick one, I mean, that's the crazy thing, is that both of them are both going to be in college next year. They're both true sophomores.
The only thing I can think of is, like, while I'm not the world's biggest Will Howard fan, I do trust Will Howard to throw the football more than I trust Jalen Milroe. Could Ryan Williams maybe, if we see Ryan playing with a more dependable passer, do we start to feel differently about him?
Oh, it's certainly possible. I think, you know, I can't remember the odds off the top of my head. I think Ty Simpson is like 40-ish to one. And I think if I were to make like kind of a long shot bet on one of the big blue bloods this year, I think I would take Ty Simpson. And it could certainly blow up in my face. And I know there's some talks that, you know, was it Austin Mack as the backup? Is that right?
Well, so there's this question of, do you put any stock into how much that DeBoer is like couching Ty Simpson? You know, if we played today, the argument would be he talks a lot.
He did say he was the favorite out of spring camp.
Well, he also said, though, if we played tomorrow, he would start. The argument that I would make, though, is oftentimes that's what you say about a quarterback that winds up not finishing the year. Now, I also think he's in a position where I've announced that I've got a quarterback I've got a quarterback competition going into camp, and I don't want to lose any of these guys, so
right. That's
how he's playing. I think that's a fair argument to make, too.
I also think my third point would be maybe he knows we've got something, and I'm just going to keep it quiet, right? There's a lot of...
So I'm seeing plus 2,500 over at FanDuel.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I saw 40 to 1. I could be wrong.
No, I mean, listen, we're talking about... It wouldn't be that insane to see some book that's offering that. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, and it's just like the simplicity of like Alabama's a preseason top five team and their starting quarterback should not be that low. Right. But it was interesting. And this kind of got my, you know, where I've been on Alabama. I think they've got unreal talent, which is not a shock. And if they hit at quarterback with one of the best quarterback developing coaches that we've seen in a while, then they could be cooking with gas. Now, look, their schedule's brutal.
They also have DeBoer's back with Grubb.
Ryan Grubb's back. But, like, this also, you know how I bet. I did a national radio hit, I think it was last week, and the host proclaimed that Kalen DeBoer will be fired this year. And I'm like, okay. I think they're going to win the national championship now.
Okay, so I will say this, though.
Kalen DeBoer, what would it take? Forget out a coach.
Because, like, my thing is, all right, what is the actual worst-case scenario for them? So let me pull it up.
I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I know they play at Georgia. I mean, are you talking, like, realistic?
What I'm saying, if I paint you this scenario.
If they lose in Tallahassee week one, then maybe it is over.
Okay. All right. Let's look at – all right. So we've got the worst-case scenario. So let's have them lose most of the toss-ups. All right. At Florida State.
That's not a toss-up, though. They're a 14-point favorite.
All right. So, okay.
I'm saying worst-case scenario, if you think it's worst-case scenario, I think they lose to Florida State, and then it's like the season's over.
Okay. So – I think they'll be underdogs against Georgia.
They will. They are right now. They are.
All right. So let's say that they lose to at Georgia. I just don't see them losing.
They host LSU.
I don't see them losing to Tennessee at home.
So here's the interesting one, right? I think you and I are kind of seeing eye to eye on South Carolina, maybe getting a little too hyped.
That game on the road.
A brutal spot, right? Revenge game against Tennessee, third Saturday of October, and then you have to go to Columbia. Like, they could lose to South Carolina. And look, here's the thing about DeBoer that you need more proof. He lost at Oklahoma as a 2-touchdown favorite. He lost at Vanderbilt as a 24.5-point favorite or whatever they were. And then they lost, I forget what the point spread was, but they lost to Tennessee.
I think it was either three or three and a half, something like that.
So, like, he's got to get over the road yips.
Yeah, they took care of business enough. Okay, but I'm actually thinking, okay, here are the games that if I told you this is worst-case scenario, this is how I would paint it. They lose at Georgia.
Okay.
They lose at South Carolina. They lose to LSU at home. They lose at Auburn, and then they lose one of the Oklahoma at Missouri Tennessee games.
So that you're talking
seven and five?
Oof, yeah, that'd be bad.
I just don't
it's
see
not,
that.
It's not impossible, but like I think their roster is really loaded, and I've said this about so many teams, whether it be, you know, Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, like there's an upside of those teams where, like, if the quarterback hits, which is a big if, but if the quarterback hits, I mean, the ceiling's national championship for all three of those teams.
And by the way, hitting doesn't mean he has to be like, man, like we saw Mac Jones was not that good, but you know what Mac Jones had?
Devontae Smith.
And Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy and Najee and, like, you know what I mean? And the tight end. Like, you don't have to be that good. You basically just have to, like, throw it in the vicinity of some of these guys.
Yeah. No, it's true.
All right. Anything else strike you before we let you go?
Not really. You know, obviously, like I said, it's early. Oregon's not here today. Penn State's not here today. So I've seen Cignetti walking around, and it's like he's just. I really wanted to talk to him because I just wanted.
Apparently, he dropped a line that he is focused on
scheduling, like the SEC.
Yeah.
I respect it, man. I respect it.
I would respect it more if. The problem is, like, when he gets in those games as underdogs, he just coaches scared. I would respect it more if, like say what you want, like, when Briles' teams would schedule like that, when they got into the big games, they still went for it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
His problem is he gets into the big games and they just coach to, like, you could tell Indiana was trying to avoid a blowout in that game, and then they were trying to avoid a blowout in the Ohio State game, but, like, there was a talent mismatch.
Yeah, no, for sure.
By the way, how good was my boy Bielema looking? Were we pushing four bills? How are we?
Dude, he looked great. He's got some fresh. I don't know if they're Air Force Ones, but just some fresh kicks. Orange. It says Coach B on him. He's walking around here like.
Does he have the? Is he the, like, number one aura guy for fat guys?
Oh yeah, he owns it, man. He owns it.
God, he looks good. All right, my man. We'll talk to you later this week.
See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. When we come back, we'll do a late abbreviated version of the list. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Each and every day here on the program, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. Big Ten Media Days. All right, so a couple things are happening. We'll get into a few of the other comments, but George, would you agree with this? I don't know what the particular reasons are, but it does feel like Big Ten Media Day has more juice right now than the SEC Media Days.
It definitely does.
All right, so let's go through a couple of reasons why.
I can think of one off the top of my head.
All right, yours is?
The fact that we got a lot more, it feels like, out of the SEC coaches meeting.
Yeah, the spring meetings.
Down in Florida. Yes,
okay.
We got a ton out of that, so the media day kind of pales a little bit.
I definitely think it's true that SEC spring meetings have become much, much more interesting, because when you get to SEC media days, it has become so monotonous and so routine that it just comes across as boring. And
kind of feels sterile.
I would also argue, I wonder if it was by design. And here would be the question. Here would be the question I have for you.
Yeah.
It feels to me like the Big Ten has come out swinging today, and they want to have a lot of sound bites, and they want to be, because really, let's think back to last week, right?
Yeah.
SEC Media Days.
Was it last week?
Yeah, I think it was last week, because I think we talked about the list on Friday, the preseason awards. All right, so we had Drinkwitz with a 30-team playoff.
Not shocking, okay. But that's on brand for him.
Was there another coach or player that made a headline? Because other than that, it seems to me the single biggest talking point was Greg McElroy opening the week with his show that he does with Cole Kublik.
The Saban.
Saying that he had someone that he trusts tell him that he thinks Saban's back on the sideline. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That got us a couple of days.
Yeah, that had some definite juice.
The Feinbaum Kiffin segment felt like it got a little bit of internet run.
It was great, phenomenal.
Okay, but it didn't last.
No, it didn't have
staying power, and it was more of like a
Kiffin Feinbaum.
It was like a buddy cop like duo.
Exactly.
Yeah. It wasn't designed. It was designed to be entertaining more than it was to be like attention grabbing.
Correct.
Okay. Even when you compare Sankey's address to Tony Petitti's address today, I felt like Sankey was coming at it from a more tampering things down perspective, whereas Petitti felt very aggressive.
So those quotes that we went through or talked a little bit about today, and I want to say, was it also Ross who put out the story with the Big Ten?
Yes.
Was that from Petitti's monologue, or was that from a meeting with himself and Petitti?
I think Ross, because I felt like I saw Ross's story before Petitti spoke. So I think
Was that an interview?
Yeah, I think Ross probably did a one-on-one.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the talking points were the same.
Were repeated,
right.
Yes.
So here we go. Here are some of the talking points from today. This according to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. Petitti said that the alternative model, which includes automatic spots for only the five highest rated conference champions and 11 at-large berths determined by a selection committee, is one that will, quote, have a difficult time gaining support from the Big Ten. Also, how are we differentiating from teams that don't have head-to-head play? Teams that don't play common schedules across leagues that do different things. I think that's really hard, a tall order. Every time you think about expansion, it gives you some sort of counter idea that it gets easier to make these decisions. It actually gets harder. More teams look alike. More teams are going to have 9-3 records. More teams are going to struggle in a conference road game. More teams might stumble at a conference home game. Okay, I also believe in being fair.
Mm-hmm.
SEC people, like that's another way of saying basically the same argument that you have.
Yeah.
Okay. Each league will have to decide what they think the best conference schedule is for them. In a system where you have allocated spots, I think in talking to athletic directors and coaches, I don't think we really care how many conference games any league is playing because you qualify off of your conference standings. But when you get to a system that's increasing the at-larges and increasing the work of a selection committee, that's when you need to understand how we're competing in the regular season. If you're a 6-3 in the Big Ten, I would argue that's a great record. And if you stumbled in a non-conference game, I don't know why that disqualifies you. An 8-4, 8-4 is a 8-4. An 8-4 record is a winning percentage. I don't know. I think what he meant to say is a pretty good team. Yeah. If you project that winning percentage in every other sport, I'm pretty sure you make the postseason. Does winning any a big conference game help you more than losing a non-conference game hurt? Okay, so there's a few things here. Number one, I do not really actually have a problem with wanting to take an emphasis off of the selection committee. Brett McMurphy was on this show, I don't know, a month ago?
Yeah.
And he made the point, the problem with the BCS wasn't the rankings. The problem with the BCS was they took two. I would argue that wasn't even a problem. But I do understand his point.
Yes.
His point absolutely. Is, if we were picking 16 teams, or if we were picking 12 teams, well, then all of a sudden the computers really aren't that big of a problem.
No, but that's the thing. They also were not the problem to begin with. Is the big part of that is
now
the data hasn't really changed.
This is the only problem that I have with the system. A, the branding's horrible. The four plus four.
It's 4-4-2-2-1.
Correct.
Yes, I have it in front of me. Yes, I needed it in front of me.
Well, I've actually gotten to where I've mockingly said it so much that like I have now somehow tricked myself into knowing, oh yeah, it's 2 fours, 2 twos, and a one.
Yeah.
So,
which still is at large in it.
My issue is they're trying to sell it by enhancing the regular season, yet fundamentally acknowledging they're devaluing the regular season. So here would be, this would be my argument.
Yeah.
They believe, essentially what you're saying is, we are enhancing the month of November. Okay?
Yep.
The problem, though, is you're not actually enhancing the regular season. You're keeping more teams in it.
You're keeping the hunt going.
Correct.
Longer.
And you're manufacturing it. Because largely why you're doing it is we're trying to get, we know that when we get down to it, there's going to be a 3-6 game and a 4-5 game. Two are getting in.
Two are staying home.
And maybe getting in
as one of the three at-large bids.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. The problem, though, is how can you say you're enhancing the regular season when if you're the third-place team, you're comfortably in if you don't play that next game? You're essentially saying the 9 conference games that we played didn't really matter that much. This one matters a lot more.
Oh, absolutely. And one part of it that I'm also looking at is, yes, I understand that there is a pretty decently sized gulf between these conferences, and we talked about it earlier, but that's also him essentially saying, the majority of our calendar matters a lot. Almost none of these other conferences, their schedule doesn't really matter.
Yeah, the only problem, though, I have with this is he's kind of acting like every Big Ten game is the same.
Oh, and we looked at that schedule. It is not.
And it's not. Now,
You can say that for every conference.
Well, but I'm also very much, I am very open to this concept being true. I don't think there's a lot of SEC fans that are punching at Cowherd because Cowherd's been saying it's no coincidence that the Big Ten has won the last two titles. Now that has become the over the table era.
Sure.
Where people are getting upset is look at the SEC or look at the Big Ten. It's tech money. It's Hollywood. It's all that. I would say, Kyle, like, I mean, I guess there's a little of that, but really what I'd say is go look at the size of the schools.
Oh, they're massive.
And by the way, it's not like we're talking small SEC schools. Now, they have these massive, massive fan bases, massive alumni bases, and for the most part, they are either very near, very business and high-earning cities, or they have a tremendous like network access to it. There's more rich people. So
yes,
I don't have a problem with that. The issue, though, for me is I still think it's entirely possible the best Big Ten team for the next 5 years could be better than the best SEC team. I don't have a problem with envisioning that. I would like to see it play out, but I'm cool with that being a premise.
Yeah.
The problem that I have, though, is when we get to really 4 through...
What do you want to say, 4 through 8?
Maybe. I really was closer to 4 to 12. Because Georgia looked at...
Yeah, we did.
So, all right, let's set... I think the 4 worst teams in the league this year are going to be Mississippi State, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. Those would be the projected bottom 4.
Yes.
Mississippi State went winless. Kentucky ruined Ole Miss's season.
Yep.
Vanderbilt largely ruined Alabama's season. And Arkansas didn't ruin Tennessee's season, but it kept Tennessee from... How much would Tennessee have liked to have played a home game or the SEC championship game?
Exactly. And we're comparing those two if we're... And we don't even necessarily need to take just those specific spots, but we're comparing that to Purdue, who went 0-9 last season. Also winless. I don't know that they... Did they win maybe one game period? Including the non-con?
I want to say maybe they went like 1-11. But like the bigger issue is that...
Maryland.
The Big Ten's... Until Ohio State lost to Michigan, the top 4 Big Ten teams only lost to each other.
Yep.
So it took to the very last day of the regular season.
If you even want to push that a little bit further, the only time Oregon lost all season was when they had to play Ohio State.
Again.
For a second time.
Right. With a long layoff.
Yep.
So the problem is the SEC's argument is like it truly is like top to bottom, but I don't know. I guess the thing is my biggest problem with the whole Big Ten formula and model and method, and George, we're just gonna go to the end.
Okay.
It feels too made for TV. Like, in the end,
it feels too
gimmicky.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, it's going to artificially add value to some of these games that previously would not really... For example, like, if we ended up with a game, let's just say, middle of next season or November of next season between Indiana and Iowa.
Yes.
Two teams that we realistically think should be close enough to those playoff spots in the Big Ten. But because those are two of the teams that will be fighting for one of those automatic qualifiers in this system, a game that most of us would probably look at and be like, okay, that might be like TV 2 or 3. Like, that should be a decent enough game. That will
not something to ignore, but we ain't... Come on.
Exactly.
We're not listening to a sound on.
Right.
Yeah.
That type of game is
with all due respect to both bands.
Oh, the bands are great.
I know. I said with all due respect.
You might get halftime.
Listen,
you'll get halftime.
Where Big Ten doesn't get enough credit is the strength of their marching bands. They don't play that up.
They need to play it up more. They're
that's
fantastic.
What I'm saying. They're
incredible.
I mean, I don't know if it's because they're all like scholarship or whatnot, but like all their bands are phenomenal. Continue. But no, like to me, it feels like it's a bunch of TV execs coming in like going, how can we sell this game? Well, let's put some stakes on it. And it's like, well, this is a sport where the stakes kind of write themselves. Like, I shouldn't have to manufacture reasons to care about this game. And so this has always been my argument. At the end of the day, I'm in favor of the 12-team playoff. But really, I'm in favor of the 12-team playoff as opposed to the 4-team playoff, because the 4-team playoff made any sense to me.
No.
But what I will never yield on this, everyone that rolled their eyes, guess the regular season didn't matter anymore. Y'all, two things can be true. The regular season can be diminished, but you can find yourself
having more teams have a longer regular season where they're still in the hunt. But you cannot deny that there was a little part of you all inside, minus the Bama fans, that when you saw Diego Pavia and you saw those goalposts go down in Nashville, there's a small part of you that died inside knowing that doesn't ruin it. Because part of this sport used to be defined by
your losses.
And again, I also understand that is more logic for getting fewer losable games. I understand that. But where I settled in the end was, I mean,
it was a conference game.
I understand that. But also, hey, I'm not even, the way coaches are wired, they're not even
No, they don't recognize that.
Correct.
They say,
right,
doesn't matter.
Correct. I'm controlling the controllables.
Exactly.
Right. But it was in the playoff era, that was the longest period of time that I felt like you could really lock in on a bunch of teams in the sport. And that I overall thought was better. I thought that was an improvement. So it's a net positive. I will get a little wistful for the game that should be the soul crushing game. Like Michigan beating Ohio State. Like in the end, all it cost Ohio State was having to play an extra game in the Big Ten title and having to play Oregon again 3 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Like that's what it cost them.
And at the end of the day, it cost them
nothing.
Literally nothing.
Now, at the same time, I think
a little bit of pride, sure, but
I also think
they have a ring now.
You can make the argument the 12-team playoff made sure that the best team was crowned at the end.
I agree. I think the 12-team worked as intended. And for the first round of these playoffs not being great, could it also have just been matchups? Could it have been timing based on what weekend it landed on and what was going on around those games? Absolutely. I mean, some of those games could have been very different based on who they played.
Yeah.
And that could have just been the weird seeding.
It's also where, yeah.
It was also year one.
I kind of want to
let it breathe.
I kind of want to see what it looks like this year when we do straight seeding. I don't think that's too unreasonable. For days, don't tell the story, tell your story. Again, we spent a lot of time talking the Big Ten media days, but that doesn't stop our boy Rhett Lashley from firing off some takes as well at ACC media day. Quote, the SEC has had the same six schools win the championship game since 1964. That is a definition of tell your story. The championship game didn't start till 1992. Not a single one of them has been different since 1964. That's top heavy to me. That's not depth. Again, the championship game started in 1992.
He's tacking on 30 years.
Correct. I think he's also choosing 64 because Ole Miss would have been a seventh in 63.
Yeah.
I think he's selected. But again, that's good stuff. That's don't tell the story.
That is telling your story,
that's
buddy.
That's tell your story.
Good job, Rhett.
Want to thank Tim for joining us live from Vegas in the middle of a work day. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off. The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.